obviously, in so these takes values in the whole PSH2/4, but you only want to work with the coset. So the action is something like these J's split up into then you have J's that take value in so these are the 30 bosonic generators, 10 and 20, and these are the 32 fermionic generators. So the action is, I think maybe even Andrei wrote something like, so J bar is and then there's a, so I won't remember it, but there's some coefficient here. So you can, of course, have this, and you can also have J alpha hat, J bar alpha. And you can contract these using gamma. So these are spinners of the same chirality, so you can contract using gamma 5. So let me just use the notation. Let me define this to be delta alpha. Yeah. So then you contract this like this. So this would be essentially the Green-Schwarz action. So this has kappa symmetry, but it doesn't have BRST symmetry. For BRST symmetry, you also have a term, I think there's a half with a plus sign. And this, of course, allows you to define a propagator for the fermions. So if you go to, if you expand in orders of theta, this is something like d theta alpha, d bar theta alpha, minus the same thing. So to quadratic order in theta, this doesn't give you a term. If I did it right, this should be equal. This is a total derivative. Whereas this gives you a term. So the point is that you can define a kinetic term for the thetas, of course, which you expect, because there's no local symmetry for the thetas. So this is the action, this is the matter part of the action. And then there's a ghost contribution. So which you can write in this form. So W. So this del bar is defined using JMN. So in order for this to be invariant under local SO41 times SO5 transformations, this W del bar lambda is equal to W d bar lambda plus okay, so that defines the BRST invariant sigma model. And of course there's a radius modulus here. So that's the action which is BRST invariant, and you can use it, you can show that it's consistent to the quantum level in various ways. Okay, I don't know how to use it to compute scattering amplitudes, but one thing that I tried to do, which is of course speculation, is suppose you allow 1 over lambda. So I told you, here you have lambda lambda hat, and now suppose you're allowed to play with this. So I'm not sure if this is allowed or not. But if you allow it, so it, then you can, for example, construct the B ghost in a simple way. So if I remember correctly, the B ghost, I might get this wrong, but it's something like one, so let me call this 1 over lambda lambda hat. Then it's just something like lambda hat J M gamma M J alpha hat. It's something very simple. There might be another term, but I don't, it certainly only has 1 over lambda lambda hat. There's no further pull. Okay, so you can show that Q with B gives you T, etc. that you have to allow this kind of structure. Of course, it's no longer holomorphic, but nothing, I mean, it's not a free field theory. So D bar of B is not zero, but it's Q of something. So I guess, okay, so Ed already told us what this means. But so we have to use more complicated formulas when we discuss non-holomorphic B ghosts. But okay, this is something that actually happens in any, even in the heterotic string, D bar of B is not, so it has nothing to do with Ramon-Ramon backgrounds. In a curved background in this formalism, D bar B is not zero, and that's because the vertex operators are not in B0 gauge. So when you deform the flat background, you're going to generate a non-holomorphic term in B. But of course, it should be barely true. Okay, so that looks nice once you allow this. And now you can ask if you can write something which is BRST trivial, which looks like this. So the point is you can. So you can write S as something which has, okay, so I may get this wrong, but I'll try to remember it. So instead of being JA, J bar A, you choose a complex direction. So here we don't have any, this is obviously invariant under SO91 rotations. Okay. But of course you only have SO41 times SO5, and you also have these pure spinners. So suppose you write this object instead, lambda A . So you use lambda and lambda hat to choose a complex structure in this 10-dimensional space. So, of course, the part which is symmetric in Z and Z bar is the same as before. Because, of course, if I write this plus lambda hat gamma AB lambda over lambda lambda hat, this is just delta AB or 8AB. So we haven't done anything. But if I just take one of them, then it's, of course, equal to this plus a term which is anti-symmetric in Z and Z bar. Okay, and if you add to this something like J alpha, J hat, then, and there's also some coupling to ghosts, so I don't remember, then you find that this thing is actually BRST trivial. This can be written as something which is Q or something. So it has the something also has 1 over lambda lambda hats, but the point is that the symmetric part of this, so that means, so this is, let's call this S trivial. And the point is you can write the full S as something which is S trivial. Because it's BRST trivial, it doesn't matter what coefficient I put in front here, so I might as well put R squared. Plus something which is not BRST trivial, but which is only antisymmetric in Z and Z bar. So it looks like, let's call this S prime, where S prime is something like d squared of z now it's antisymmetric, so something like this. And there's also an antisymmetric part of the J's that I don't remember, but there is a coefficient here which is also antisymmetric. So this, of course, also is at R squared. So now the point is that this thing is BRST trivial. So you can certainly consider it at any value of R squared, and it shouldn't affect the theory. Whereas this tells you what the physical R is. So I want to think of this model as being describing the model at R equals zero, and this as being the deformation. So S trivial is supposed to be, of course, it's topological. And it's supposed to describe the theory that R squared equals zero. Now there's a nice way to, I can't say this can be done rigorously, but I think at a heuristic level, I can understand this model as actually being a G over G model. So the idea is that You start with a coset, which instead of dividing by SO4 1 times SO5, you divide by the full PSU224. Okay. And then you do some gauge fixing. So, okay. Okay, I can say just. So. So if you have PSU224 over then obviously you have all of this local gauge symmetry. And the idea is you're going to gauge fix all of it except for the SO4 1 times SO5. And we're going to gauge fix a vector symmetry. So the SO, these JAs, so gauge fix that part, let me call it TA. And also T alpha and T alpha hat. But of course we don't gauge fix the SO4 1 times SO5. So this is going to give me a PSU2, a model based on this coset. And the point is this gauge fixing is going to introduce ghosts. So the idea is that the ghosts for this T alpha and T alpha hat will be pure spinners. Well, they'll be spinners, bosonic spinners, which will play the role of lambda and lambda hat. But they won't be pure until you also gauge fix this one. So the point is that these give you naively 32 bosonic, so two bosonic spinners with 32 components. And this gives you 10 fermionic ghosts. And the idea is that these 10 fermionic ghosts, you can think of as canceling 10 of these 32 degrees of freedom to give you the 22. Lambdas and lambda hats. And this model here that you get after doing this gauge fixing is supposed to be this. So the things seem to fit together, but everything depends on the fact that you can work with these 1 over lambda lambda hats. So that's the, if I could understand how to compute using this, then I would have a chance of actually making sense out of this. But that's.
There is one danger that if you allow such thing on the BRST complex for unintegrated vertex,
yes.
Then it trivializes homology. It is simply a simple consequence of the fact that the ghost number 4 of homology is 0.
Okay, can I just say something before you start writing? So I think you're going to use something like this, a theta alpha hat over. So if
no,
you take.
No.
Trivializing means that you can write it as something that you have something like this, right? That's
unfortunately worse. I can use without, I can do in terms of G also, if I remember correctly. So,
okay, if you can do in terms of G, then I would agree with you. But if you can write this as Q of something which is manifestly spacetime supersymmetric, manifestly PSU24 invariant,
yes,
you can. It's hard for me to believe just because this is a scalar.
Not this, but the conserved, remember, the ghost number one operator, ghost number one vertex operator corresponding to global conserved current contracted with the structure constant.
Okay.
So what I did, the calculation which I wanted was so there is a ghost number one homology operator down the ceiling. So it has index because it's
I understand, yes. That's fine, that's a good operator.
So I was able to represent this thing. As Q of something which is roughly speaking of the same form. It contains only lambda and G's.
Mm-hmm.
But it contains denominators also.
Okay.
This
is not, is this written up somewhere?
This was mentioned in our paper with Oscar.
Okay, so maybe we can discuss it. There's some nice features about this, so you'd have to convince me.
But why is it important? Why is it important that you can write it coherently? I don't understand why.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. We don't know what the right rules are for ADS 5 times S5, what are the allowable vertex operators? because we don't know. I mean, we have some things we can do if we expand near flat space or expand near the boundary of ADS, but I would like to have a nice closed form even for half BPS states. I don't have a nice closed form for the vertex operators.
But
I don't think anybody does.
Spectrum or ADS5?
Yeah, so okay, so there are some things I do know. So okay, so let's take the original S. Okay. We can ask what are the vertex operators. So in any closed backbone, you can ask what's the cohomology described by, so you have Q left and Q right, and you can ask what are the states described by this. And you can show that the states that are described by this describe in any curved background, including ADS5 times S5, these describe the gravity states. So this is one description of supergravity states in ADS5 times S5. And it's perfectly PSU24 invariant. It's just, if now you say, okay, so.
So the supergravity in ADS5 times S5, modes mix like crazy, right?
Yeah, but this is all there. So alpha and alpha hat go from 1 to 16.
So this already that kind of generalized.
So this has all the half BPS states.
Okay.
It's not organizing them into the different J's, you know, the different R charges. Now, suppose you ask, okay, so suppose now I want to distinguish them by how they transform under the PSU24 representation. That I don't have a clever way to do. So if I did, and I could ask, for example, do I need this kind of structure in order to do it? Then I would be able to discuss, you know, what vertex operators are allowed. But all I can say is, since I don't know a nice way to get the answer, I mean, the answer is known. We know what the half BPS
sure
states
are.
No, we know what the states we want for half BPS.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's related or not, but by the way, I think that the linearized supergravity spectrum was not computed in terms of representations.
Okay, I think we know the half BPS states for
only unitary representations.
Okay, the ones we want, we know. Maybe the ones we don't want.
But those will be not normalizable.
Okay, but then you're going to questions that I maybe you know the answer to, but I don't know. So that's why I'm being hesitant. Yes?
So maybe you said this already, but is there an analog of the space of true spinners in this case? Like square 0, 1 elements of PSU4-4?
Okay, so in any 10-dimensional supergravity background, I can think of the lambdas sitting in the target space, the 10-dimensional target space. And then it's always the same. It's just lambda gamma lambda equals 0. Or lambda gamma A, let's say.
Is it the spin model?
Yes.
And it's a generalized Killing spinner of square 0.
So in general, it doesn't have to be a Killing spinner.
Generalized Killing spinner? Oh, you
used to
be a low-end.
It's not a Killing spinner. Why would it be just a section of the spin model?
Okay, so it's a bundle over the
dependent.
So you can consider backgrounds we don't have any space-time supersymmetries, but we can still define lambda. But now if something special happens in ADS5 times S5, yeah, there are special things that happen. So as I said, for example, you have the PSU24 and lambda, so there are some games you can try to play, which I tried to play, which is, for example, mixing lambda and x in a nice way. So for example, lambda has precisely, the projective part of lambda has precisely the 20 degrees of freedom. So you could try to put x and lambda into some kind of twister-like variable. So in which the PSU24 acts linearly on these z's. Okay, you can play these games, and it doesn't look crazy, but so there are special things that happen in ADS5 times S5, but I would say the only thing I'm sure about is that you can treat it in this way. If there's some nicer way to do it for ADS5 times S5, I think there is, but I'm not. I mean, until I know how to compute something, I can't convince.
Let me ask one more quick question.
Yes,
please.
Yeah.
Is there a clean way of presenting your spinner action in terms of beta gamma systems on some supermedical? Yes.
Or
on Gordon's art.
What was, I'm not sure if I understand the question. So, the pure spinner action, you had 10 free axes, you understand that. Then you had 16 thetas, of spin zero, and the conjugate terminals. So that was just 16 primary pairs of spin one and zero, with isotherms in them. And then I think you also came with the nonlinear beta gamma system of the pure spinner, with its CDOs of the non projective. Pure spinner. So that theory is relatively familiar, but by standard rules, you would not be able to calculate correlation functions. To calculate correlation functions, even in genus zero, to calculate correlation functions, there's a magical rule which says you can integrate out your non-zero mode straightforward. So in genus zero, only the spin zero field have zero modes. The zero modes, in fact, are not difficult. You just integrate over R10. You get momentum conservation. What will cause you trouble will be the 16 zero modes of theta and a constant map to the pure spinner mode.
Yes. So that then won't converge.
We feel we would know how to integrate over the thetas because they're fermions. But we don't have any sensible way to integrate over the pure spinner mode. Well, first of all, we don't have a contour to integrate over. I think it's a Clavial, but I'm forgetful. But that's even if it is, what good will that do us? Because we don't have natural integrations like that. But even if we did, you could pick one, but no reasonable thing you're going to get will converge in that sense. So there's no normal way to regard the integration over the zero modes as an integral. But Nathan picked this crazy thing out of thin air, where he declares that the integral of 3 lambdas times 5 thetas is non-zero. All other integrals are zero. So there's an esoteric rank combination of 3 lambdas and 5 thetas. I believe Michael Moltke gave some kind of explanation of what it allegedly means. Mm-hmm. But to me, it went in one ear and off the other. But you might find it instructive. Then Nathan, as he explains, gave some kind of derivation of the crazy thing with the 3 lambdas and 5 thetas with the non-minimal variable. What that meant was, he introduced a cohomological trivial system, yes, where there was a lambda, and there was a lambda bar as well as a lambda. And then the lambda bar have the opposite kind of thing on it?
Yeah.
So we might, it's called lambda bar because you might think that the complex kind of lambda, but why are we right there? So the lambda bar itself has this kind of it. But on the world shape, they're all homomorphic again. And then there were more pairs, right?
Well, you have the topological partner of lambda bar. So you add lambda bar and its conjugate.
Yes.
And of course, they have a super partner.
Right. Okay. So with lambda bar, W bar, and RNS, you can add a cohomological trivial system. So far, you haven't accomplished anything. Then he adds the regulator, which is the exponential of Q or something. It's a Q of something that can only be constructed when you have these variables.
Mm.
Now, it has at least one good property, which is it makes complete sense in genus zero. So now your integrals over zero modes are honest integrals, with lambda bar now being interpreted as the complex conjugate of lambda. So either S or R doesn't have zero modes and the other one does.
Yeah, these have zero modes.
Since you have zero modes, that means that lambda bar being the complex conjugate of lambda and R being a 0-1 form, we're now integrating 0-Q forms on the pure spinner supermanifold. But I think it was a Clavial supermanifold. So we toss it all over the volume. So we would formally know how to integrate on it. And we haven't introduced any other zeros. We didn't have before. We know how to integrate over the things. The only trouble is we need to integrate the convergence. But this exponential of Q or something is in fact the exponential of minus lambda bar plus something involving the fermions. So now we have a completely convergent integral. If you want to know where we get the 0q forms, it's the exponential of lambda bar plus a 0-1 form times a theta. So when we expand it, since the pure spinner manifold, see, naively, this, I know practically nothing about this except exactly what I'm telling you. But anyway, naively you need to insert 16. Actually, I want to write down a formula. It doesn't matter. One factor here is the exponential of q to the. So we have the Clavial volume form for lambda. And that, I believe, is all we have. So R bar is the lambda bar. But there's no natural VRC and right measure put there. So we don't. We do also have D16 here. There's no problem with that because there's a natural Berezin measure for the thetas, and the action of Lorentz group is unimodular, so there's a D16 theta that's uniquely defined by Lorentz invariance of the constant. So this would have been the zero mode measure, but for the cohomologically, for the minimal pure spinner system, there wouldn't be anything we could integrate it that would arise. So the rule is supposed to be that lambda cubed times theta to the fifth is supposed to give a non-zero integral. But one immediate problem is that D16 theta of theta to the 5 is 0. So, however, the exponential of Q theta is the exponential of minus lambda bar lambda plus R theta. But R is D lambda bar. So to integrate over the pure spinner manifold, this Clavial form is an 11-0 form. But we need to have a 0-11 form from somewhere. We get it by expanding the exponential and picking out the term of order r to the 11. But that'll be of order theta to the 11. So then magically, theta to the 5 will be the right thing to go to non-zero integral. And the integral over the pure spinner space also makes sense because we've got an 11-0 form, and here there's a 0-11 form. And there's a nice convergent e to the minus lambda bar lambda, so it will converge. And if you ask what power of lambda is needed to make it non-zero as well as convergent, a little analysis will show it has to be done to Q. So, in his first work, by now maybe more than 10 years ago, Nathan just gave a rule that you have to assume that lambda cubed theta to the fifth was non-zero with a certain combination of the SOTM representation. And you have to say, in other words, to say it better, there's a limit on the cube of a spinner times the 16th, fifth power of this. There's a certain rule for a non-zero form on this, which was SO10 invariant. It was picked out of thin air. But this regularization actually drives it. That's actually all I can tell you.
So there's one point that is not related to the flat case, but in the ADS case, so I don't know exactly what you're asking, but there is something. So I mentioned here you can try to combine these two. Okay, so the point is that X, of course, is described by the part of the coset, the part of the bosonic coset that remains if you divide by SO41 times SO5. But suppose you don't divide by SO41 times SO5, then you have 20 extra degrees of freedom. So the point is that if you could combine these two, and I don't know if this makes sense at finite radius, but maybe in the topological model it does, and you treat theta as the superpartner to this thing, then it does, I mean, so you try to treat x at the same level of as lambda, so that's something like a twister variable. Then you might try to treat, so what Ed was talking about were only the lambdas were beta gamma systems. I think what you might want is where also the x's somehow get treated like a beta gamma system.
I mean, you can write down the bosonic supermodel as beta gamma bar.
Right. So that's, I don't know how to do this in flat space. But there's some indications that in ADS maybe something like that could be done. But certainly nothing has been done in the sense of doing computations that way. But that might be possible.
Okay.